Parkway Schools this morning. Kevin is going to take it from here. Welcome Kevin Sandler and Lori Young to the show.
Hey, thank you so much, Lee. A pleasure to be back at Parkway again. It's been a few years, and we've missed it. So we're thrilled to be here. I want to thank our sponsors, who include Swiss Village, Chant Insurance Center, Second Crossing Brewery, and the Rockford Chamber of Commerce. Lori Young is my first guest. Lori is the new superintendent of Parkway Schools. Lori, welcome aboard. Good to have
you. Thank you. Good morning.
So let's begin by talking a bit about your background. Can you share with us where you came from originally and what drove your decision to get into education?
Sure. So I graduated from Paulding High School, so just up the road. And then I attended Mount Vernon Nazarene University and got my undergrad. And then I ended up, while I was teaching at Defiance, I taught Defiance third grade. For 12 years, I got my principal license at Bowling Green. And then in that search, I ended up at Holgate Elementary Principal for 14 years. And during that time, I got my superintendent's license. And I was inspired, one, to get into education by my mother. She was a teacher at Kaleida for over 40 years. So that kind of drove me to education. And then for this role, I was really encouraged by all the mentors I had along the way. You know, I was just planning on, when I was teaching, to continue to teach. And then I had an administrator really encourage me to get into administration. And then when I was a principal, I had a mentor really encourage me to become a superintendent.
Outstanding. And what's neat about that is a couple things. It's always good to hear a goal get realized, but also it seems you had an open mind when you started in education. Like maybe you didn't think superintendent years ago, but that's the path that life laid out for you.
Absolutely. That was probably the furthest thing from my mind, but that's just how I ended up, and I couldn't be happier.
And what attracted you to come to Parkway? I think people are used to us saying it's a respected school district, but, you know, it is. And people from, you know, quite far away are familiar with it. They've heard of it. And I'm sure it grabbed your attention when you found out there was a vacancy.
Absolutely. I taught in a large school in Defiance, and then, but I was in a small school in Defiance for a long time until we transitioned to a big building. And then I really didn't like that feel. So then when I was a principal, I mean, we were all in one building, and I just fell in love with the way those kids could interact, the staff could interact, being under one roof. And so when I started looking for superintendent jobs, that's what I was looking for, a place that was under one roof where all the staff and all the kids would know each other. And so that's really what the first thing that really drew me to Parkway.
Excellent. And, you know, with that, we talk about how well things are here and how hard, you know, people work in the district to provide a quality education for the students. And with that, you know, it's report card day. You know, even school districts get a report
Absolutely.
Card, right?
Yeah, they were just released today. But before I talk about that, when you said something about staff, one of the things that I've really noticed, and I've met with staff, I've been in the community, and we just have, I just want to brag on them for a bit. Our staff is just amazing and so welcoming, not only to me, but to, we had over 20 new staff members this year, and I've heard repeatedly how welcoming everyone has been. So and our administrative team here is second to none. They've just done a great job of making me feel welcome as well and just have all sorts of background for me. So before I get, because that's what this is really based on. You know, this is one day, one snapshot. But what I'm really excited about, when I knew the grade card was going to be, the report card was going to be released today, we are measured in stars. It used to be letter grades. Then we moved to stars. So the past 2 years, we have been at 3.5 stars. And when I opened the report card today, we are at 4 stars out of 5. So we are super excited. I'm in the midst of putting together some comparisons to share, not only with the staff, but with the board, to get that out there as soon as possible, because this really goes to show how much hard work and dedication they put in. Because the area that's been troubling us has been, we were gap closing, we increased from 4 to 5 stars, and in progress, we had kind of been stuck at 1 star, and we hit 2. And that's something that we've been, during the meetings with staff that I've wanted to work on, that they have mentioned, They want to continue to work on that vertical alignment piece. Like, let's have all the English teachers get together, not just in 9-12, but start in the middle school too, in the elementary. What are some things that we can build? And we just need to talk to each other, build in that time. So I'm just really excited to see this and really excited to brag about my staff and my students about how hard they've been working. Even though this is really like a day or two snapshot of what our kids can do. But it's really great when there's a positive surrounding this, because a lot of times this is what everybody sees in the newspaper or on the news. And we just hope that they note that that's just a couple days of snapshot, and there's so many more wonderful things that happen here.
That's for sure. It's kind of, it gives you a rough idea of how things are going.
Absolutely.
Right? And some of the things, you know, that you talk about, like gap closing, mm-hmm. a lot of people might hear that and say, well, what does that mean exactly?
Well, gap closing is, it's how we measure gaps reduction in those student groups. So that's what it's measuring. And then in progress, that's really where we measure the progress compared to years past or to how other students do in the state. So it's that value-added piece for teachers that gets measured, that you really see how the students, did they perform expected growth, below that growth, or above that growth? And it's a colored system, and that's how they get the progress. And that's how they can measure it by school, by teacher, by grade band. There's a lot of different ways it can be measured.
And finally, also, you know, the idea of progress, that can mean so many things, right?
Absolutely.
And I'm sure the state has certain things that they're looking at in particular of how they define progress.
Yeah, it's defined by the test that we take. So the math, the reading, the government test, all of those end of the year assessments that we take are measured in that progress piece.
All right. So it lets you know you're heading in the right direction. But I also suspect that you're not about to rest on your laurels, right?
No.
I mean, you're happy to increase up to 4 stars, but I'm sure the goal is 5 stars, right?
Sure. And, you know, we're always looking at what we can do better. Okay, what's working? What got us here? And what are some things that we can do better? And, you know, when I was meeting with the staff one-on-one, they told me a lot of those things already. They are the ones who mentioned, well, we need to get together and do vertical alignment. We need to get together. We really need to focus on this group of students. And so breaking down this data will be important to determine where we go next and how we can use our professional development time and how we can use that and use this data to really continue to improve what we're doing.
I'm sure also, with students, with staff, I mean, it's a diverse district. We call it Parkway, and a lot of people, we're quick to remind them, especially if they're listening from outside the area, there's no actual Parkway, Ohio, right?
There is not.
This is a name that we've given to the school district that, you know, that, has students from Rockford, Mendon, Wilshire. I don't want to miss any, but...
Those are the major ones.
Yeah, the major ones, so that, that's the area that you cover. It's a large geographical area. So you got students from all different backgrounds,
we
right?
Do.
I mean, it's, you know, it's maybe a little challenging in that regard, right?
It sure is. You know, we're not like a factory. We can't, I always like it. People need to realize that, you know, if you work at a blueberry factory, you can, you know, if your blueberries aren't looking so hot, you can get rid of them. Well, that's not what it is in public education. We embrace everybody. And we just, you know, depending on where you're coming from, if you've got a great family life, a not so good family life, or you're doing well financially or you're not, no matter where you're at, if you're 2 grade levels behind or 3 grade levels ahead, we need to meet you where you are and help you grow. And that's what our job is, and to teach you all those little things that aren't in the standards. You know, how to be a great person, how to be a good teammate, how to get along with others.
I was just going to add that they say you never know what's going on with a person, and we're taught at a young age, and I think, you know, we were taught growing up, you know, that, you know, that put on the brave face. Nobody wants to hear this stuff. Go to work, go to school. And now we seem to be getting away from that, that it's okay to ask a student, hey, are you all right? What's going on? Can we talk? You know, we've seen, better grades from you. What's going on? And we're not judging you. What can we do to help?
Absolutely. And I know you're going to hear this week from two of our, we have two guidance counselors here, but we also have a licensed social worker, and then we have an SEL coach, Ashley Place. So they're going to team up later on this week and kind of talk about what their role is. But absolutely, I mean, not only do grades indicate that for us, but, you know, when we're with those kids for 6 hours plus, and sometimes more than that, if they're athletes or involved in a club or music or whatever that might be, I mean, we're going to have those individuals that teachers or coaches that are going to be able to say, you know, you're not acting like yourself lately. Can, you know, pull them aside one-on-one and ask, you know, what's going on? What can I help you with? And sometimes kids are going to want to talk and sometimes they won't. Maybe it's just a bad day. But we do have quite a few resources in place, like Jessica from Foundations and our SEL coach and our guidance counselors and, you know, professional development that we do with our staff to help identify those needs and make sure that all of our kids' needs are being met.
That's for sure. And definitely, as you said, literally progress. I'm sure it feels good sometimes to be able to, you know, talk to a student, their grades are slipping, and you get them back on that good
Absolutely.
Road. And some of it might, at times, I'm sure, be an issue of time management, right? I mean, you've got to go to school, you got to go to work, you're in band, and you're on the team. And gosh, I don't know when the first day of school was for you, but I'm sure like a week or two before that, right? Some of the kids were already having some football drills, others were already having band practice and things like that, right?
Yeah, and you know, a lot of times we have to look at when a student is struggling to turn in homework, let's say, we need to determine, well, why is that? You know, and having that conversation with that student and being, and not just being punitive, not just disciplining, asking those questions, you know, do they understand how to organize? You know, if that's not inherent, you know, I felt like I grew up in an organized home. That was something I was really good at. But I don't understand the opposite of that. But if you're not taught those things and you don't grow up that way, you may not understand how to organize and how to return homework and how that system works. So asking those questions and really getting to the root of the problem or really and showing that a child that you care will go a long way.
That's for sure. And an organizational system.
Absolutely.
You know, that works for them. Mm-hmm. And I know they're out there. I mean, all we had was a trapper keeper when we were growing up.
Yes.
And I know they're back in style,
they
sort
are.
Of, kind
yeah.
of. But you know, for a lot of the kids, I mean, they probably want to go a little bit more electronic than that.
Sure, they do.
But something, some kind of organization, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we are an electronic society, and we do a lot of that. But there's still some things to return in paper. You know, I just was in the high school office this morning and a child was turning in a field trip form, you know, so there's still papers that need to be returned to school. So
that's true. And they still teach the cursive
we
and
do.
The printing. You
yes.
know?
In the elementary, we start that. Yep. We want them to be able to sign their name in cursive. So.
Yes. And understand too that there are, you know, professional ways to, you know, compose a message, and that generally when you're applying for a job, you kind of need to leave out things like LOL and other things and have like a really good sounding email that mm-hmm. is proper. And if you have a silly one you use with your friends, that's fine, but get another one that's got your real name in there. And you know, similar to how we learn how to do the old paper resumes, you know?
Sure. And paper resumes, I don't think are going to maybe go anywhere because you still want to be able to turn that in, or at least that's my opinion. You still want to be able to turn that in. And when you go to an interview, you still want to have that paper in front of you. You know, you want to be able to say, hey, I know I sent this to you electronically. However, here's what it looks like in print. So making sure that they understand that both could be necessary.
And of course, the all-important cover letter, right?
Yes.
Yeah, like why you want this job or why you feel you'd be a good fit might make you stand out a little bit better than just kind of going here, you know, in your email,
well,
right?
Exactly, because cover letters, at least to me, are really important. If you can't get my name right and you can't get the right school district in there and if your grammar is poor— those are some red flags and some strikes for me as an employer. So
here's something kind of funny. Years ago in a different life, I ran a pizza place.
Okay.
And I had an application that came in, and the reason for leaving the last job was not enough hours, and enough was spelled E-N-U-F-F.
Oh,
And it was painful, but we needed people. I hired him anyways, and he turned out to be really good. But trust me, I noticed that.
Yep. Absolutely.
I think about it to this day, you know, the creative way to spell enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's the thing for people that care about grammar. You're going to get noticed, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you know. So, yep. And for Laura, I know also I'm sure you've already had a lot of fun attending some football games. And of course, your hiring was a big deal. You had people that probably wanted to meet you and who's the new superintendent. Yep. And, you know, I'm sure people have been welcoming.
They have been very welcoming. I've been to golf. I've been, I'm going to be reading for the Scholastic Bowl. I've been to the football games. I'm heading to volleyball this week. But yes, everyone has been very welcoming, and I'm looking at some ways to still be out in the community and have some opportunities for people who want to come up and meet me. But if before those opportunities arise, if someone would want to meet with me or talk with me, they just need to call the office and we can get something set up. I'm very open to that and wanting to hear from people about what they feel about Parkway.
And I was going to say, also, if you have a service club, superintendents are great guest speakers.
Absolutely.
They're great guest speakers. So.
I just love to brag about what we're doing.
Laura, we want to again thank you and another, you know, opportunity to welcome you to the community. It's so nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us out this week.
Oh, we'd love having you here. We're excited.
We appreciate getting to talk to Laura Young, Superintendent of Parkway Schools. Thank you in part to Rockford Eagles Lodge, River Trail Campgrounds, Hegg Towing, the Fremont Company, along with Greer's Power Digging. We got a quick break, then we're going to meet Alan Post and Jordan Dews. Don't you go anywhere. Back to school. This time we are going to change gears and talk high school agriculture. We have Jordan Dews. We have Alan Post. And so we're going to begin. First of all, I do want to say hello to Alan because we've had you on before, right?
Yes, we have.
I had thought so. First and foremost, what's new with you? How are things going?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I've been here for 32 years and we keep rolling. So we have a pretty good program established and we keep on trying to improve it every year.
And before we meet him, you know, tell us a bit about this young man who's with us today.
Well, I don't know. We had to dig deep and we found Jordan Deuce. He came to us from Lincoln View. He student taught with me 9 years ago here at Parkway when he was still in college. And so he's a hometown person. He told me back 9 years ago that he always wanted to come back to the county. And so we, Chloe ended up going home to be a stay home mom. And so we had a vacancy. And so he applied and we hired him on.
All right. So, first of all, Jordan, welcome aboard. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
So tell us a bit about where you came from originally and what got you into this line of work.
Well, I graduated from Coldwater back in 2013. I was in ag there. Kind of gave me a passion for agriculture, and I decided to go to school at Ohio State to be an ag teacher, which I graduated in 2017, did my student teaching with Mr. Post here. I spent the last 8 years at Lincoln View. I learned a lot there, was really enjoyed my time there, and I'm glad to be back in Mercer County here at Parkway.
Excellent. And, you know, and for you, obviously, I'm sure the excitement of a new job, right? I mean, is certainly there, but I bet it also had to help to have that experience beforehand too, right?
Oh, yeah. It was – I've learned a lot over my years teaching, and I always kind of wanted to be able to expand what I – learn teaching myself and then come here to have some new experiences with some different types of classes, be able to learn from a veteran like Mr. Post and just kind of get better as a teacher.
That's right. Hey, and Mr. Post will tell you, we're not old, we're seasoned.
That's right. We're antiques.
We're vintage.
There you go.
And that's all right, you know. Also, you know, for you, maybe talk a bit about you know, how the profession has changed, how the coursework has changed focus, too, over the years that you've been teaching. You know, 8 or 9 years, quite a bit. I'm sure there have been some changes from when you first started to, you know, what you're teaching today.
Yeah, there's definitely a big difference, especially changing schools. We do a lot of industrial technology type stuff here that I wasn't teaching before at Lincoln View. And I think over the past eight or nine years or so, you've seen a lot more focus in back into career tech education. You see a lot more students going to career centers, focusing a lot more on your hands-on type of education that you might not have seen, you know, earlier when I started my career.
Let's also, you know, talk about what you're preparing kids to do, because when you're teaching them about agriculture, we probably could do a long time just in how many different careers are available, you know?
Oh, there's a bunch of different types of careers available, and we have a pretty, you know, wide breadth of different things you have here. We have stuff where we have a greenhouse class where we teach about, you know, raising plants in a greenhouse. We have other plant science classes, business classes, welding, small engines, a wide variety of different things students can get into in a very, you know, broad industry that agriculture is, where it's not just farming, not just production agriculture, but a lot of, you know, the steps it takes to be able to bring, you know, a crop to market to be a saleable product, or, you know, raise an animal and then have it be turned into, you know, food that a consumer can eat.
I was thinking also about some of the jobs that are not at all necessarily connected to, you know, the farm. It could be somebody that sells and buys seeds or crop, you know, especially if it's soybeans that are, you know, crushed and turned into other products. People that make deliveries, for example, people that are good with science, right, that can be used, that all be in the ag industry.
Absolutely, especially this time in harvest, you get to see, you know, kind of a lot of the where everything comes to fruition of all those different jobs that people did over the years to be able to bring, you know, a product to be able to use in our country for people to use as food. I've done a lot of projects with students in the past where we have them list every job it takes to get, you know, a product from where it starts to the consumer. And some students really get into it, and you can see hundreds of jobs just, you know, from getting a soybean, you know, planted in a field to a consumer somewhere.
Excellent. And I'm sure also for people that are listening, you know, a bit of encouragement. They might think that, again, too quickly that ag is not for them. But when you start talking to them about what are your interests, it probably doesn't take you very long to help them tie that to agriculture.
Well, absolutely. I think that agriculture is definitely an industry where passion is really what drives someone to be able to be involved in. And I was talking to my freshman this morning about the FFA creed and how it talks about the struggles that, you know, farmers and people in agriculture go through. But even through those struggles, you still have a strong desire. It's a love for the industry that you don't always have when you're working somewhere else.
One other thing we like too is I think for anybody, job security is a nice thing. And no matter what the economy is doing, people need to eat. And that, and I think over the years, and I'm looking at Mr. Post over there, but, you know, seasoned guys like you and I mean, we have seen the economy do roller coaster effects.
You
and
have to support the industry.
You got that. You got to eat,
so
you know.
You have to eat. So I make sure I support the industry that I'm involved in very well. So I like to eat.
You and me both, sir.
There you go.
Also, you know, I think for you too, when you look back on your time, you know, as a teacher, you know, first off, kindly share with us your own background. And also over the years, have you had some students that have kind of written you and said, hey, thanks for being my teacher. This is what I'm doing for a living now.
Yes. Those are the moments that you really live for. But I grew up in the area. I graduated from Coldwater High School as well and went into Ohio State, similar to Jordan. And when I graduated from college, I had an opportunity to come here because the teacher was retiring. I had an opportunity to go to Cooper's, and I thought, you know, what am I going to do for sure? So I ended up coming here, and I've been here for 32 years, enjoying my time. But, yeah, sometimes those students, you know, you kind of talk them into something and they're not really sure. And I said, just give it a shot. This one particular student, I got her in a grain merchandising contest, and today she probably sells millions of dollars of seed or grain every day overseas because she's down in Mississippi, you know, taking care of, you know, selling grain to Japan, China, and where not else. And she, you know, she goes, thank you for, you know, trying to encourage me to do those contests or different things, because there's a lot of things that we do that are outside of the school as well with the FFA activities. And so those students, you know, they come back and say, hey, thanks for that opportunity. A student as a freshman didn't want to go up into the Willis Tower, as it's called now. Back then it was the Sears Tower, because he was too scared to go up there. Today he works on the 42nd floor of the Sears Tower, so he goes up in that building every day. And he says, I would have never been able to do the job, even though it's not an agricultural job. He said the experiences that he had through the FFA has helped him be able to do his job in the insurance industry.
You know, and whether it's 4-H or FFA, I talk about a couple of truly great organizations that, you know, prepare young people, you know, for leadership roles, responsibility. I think that, you know, I've pretty much have always heard just nothing but the best things about, again, 4-H or FFA.
It gives the kids a lot of real hands-on experience. And like Jordan talked to the freshmen, they squabble about, we make them memorize this five-paragraph creed and recite it to the class. And I always tell the kids, it's not about the creed itself. It's about getting in front of your peers and be able to communicate. Because today, you know, people with cell phones and things, we're all about texting and that type of stuff. And you got to be able to talk to people. And so a lot of employers say that that's the thing about, you can tell if kids have been in FFA or 4-H because they have some of those speaking skills, because we make them do those type of things, where the other kids that don't have those skills, they'll fall back a little bit and maybe not get some opportunities because they can't communicate to people, because it is about communication. It's not just texting each other anymore.
That's true. And I never, you know, hold that against anybody either, because let's face it, we can't help the world we grew up in. If you or I had texting available when we grew up, we would have been using it too, right?
right. So, yeah. So the FFA and the ag program, I think, is a great opportunity for kids, whether they're going in agriculture or not, but they get exposed to what agriculture is. And 80% of the jobs in agriculture are off the farm. So, you know, there's a wide variety of opportunities for these kids that we can open their eyes up to.
Excellent. And, you know, when we talk about like the maybe the future for either one of you guys, I mean, how are things trending, you know, in the field of ag education? I'm sure there's some changes coming.
Well, without industrial technology anymore, because we had a period in education that they were kind of taking away the hands-on thing, and they industrial arts programs were being faded out. So then in Ohio, there's no college that trains industrial arts educators anymore. And so now with the trend that we need people to be able to use their hands and work, and we want those industrial tech jobs in the school, the training. Now a lot of those programs, we can't find teachers. So then an ag teacher is taking on that responsibility, and we're converting some of those into the hands-on skills to get them still out in the shop to be able to, you know, be able to think with their hands too, and just not, you know, have the brain smarts. But all those kids, if they can work with their hands, they're going to be an asset to society, you know, because we're very fortunate in the area that we live here with the opportunity these kids have. And if we can train them here at school, that they can graduate and go right into the workforce, that's their benefit. And there's a lot of employers. For one thing, we have a laser system in the ag program. And I have businesses say, hey, I need somebody that can do that. So they don't have to go to college. They can go straight into the industry and get a job running laser machines and be further ahead than these if they would have had to go to college later on.
True. And in a sense, they do continue with their education. It's just in a different way.
Correct.
Yeah. And also, you teach those skills, because I think, again, either one of you can talk about this. You're preparing them for jobs that don't exist yet, right?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely a bunch of jobs that don't exist yet, but it's just, I think a lot of what we do as agriculture teachers is kind of introduce the industry to these students, because a lot of the ag industry is just falling in love with the industry and caring about, you know, what we're doing. It's not just a job that you're doing to make money. It's a job. It's a career that you have to improve the world, to feed the world, to do something a little bigger than yourself.
No question. And, you know, again, you know, as we are speaking with Alan Post and Jordan Dews, a high school, you know, agriculture We can also talk about, too, you know, the role of technology, you know, how people may take certain things for granted, like GPS, for example, right? But that kind of got its start, and it's a huge part of agriculture.
I remember my first year of teaching here, Mercer Landmark had a field day just outside of town. They asked us to help. And I was out there, and they were showing this GPS system that this truck drives through the field, and you had a little computer screen so that you know, you had the proper coverage. And the students and I, we just looked at each other and says, yeah, this is never going to happen. And now today we have it in all of our tractors and spray equipment. I mean, everybody is using it today. And it's even advanced a lot more with the precision agriculture that's out there. And it's only going to grow. Like you said, the jobs that our students today or that are in school will be employed in jobs that aren't even created yet. I mean, who would have thought 10 years ago that we need a drone technician? I mean, that was never even thought of at that point. But now I just had a student graduate a couple of years ago. He started his own drone spraying business over here by Neptune, and he sprayed 7,000 acres this last year as his first year. So, I mean, it's a great opportunity. You know, 10 years ago, I'd never had a student like that.
I know also years ago, like our friends at OSU Extension would always suggest, you know, to farmers, like, you must scout your fields. And you could hear the collective groan, like, oh, really? Come on, I'm busy. But if you have a drone, scout your fields becomes a lot easier, and you can do it. You can do more of it.
Correct, you know? Yeah. And it's all computer generated. You can overlay maps or different things. Agriculture has come a long way, and we don't know where it's going yet.
And nice to talk about drones in a positive manner. They don't always get the best publicity sometimes.
At least around here, yeah.
Yeah, right. Understandably so. But I like to remind people that when used properly, they're a great asset for so many things.
Correct.
Excellent. Of course, you're talking to a guy who never could even figure out how to fly one of those balsa wood planes that we
these kids today, Mr. Deuce, probably don't know what those were.
That's all right. We'll show him sometime.
There you go.
All right, gentlemen. Again, thank you for coming and sharing your own story and letting us know so many great things that are happening here at Parkway Schools, especially with agriculture. And we are back here on 96.7. The Wave, live at Parkway. I want to again thank the Rockford Eagles Lodge along with River Cheryl Campgrounds. Thank you to Hag Towing and the Fremont Company along with Greer's Power Digging. Lucas Minnick is here to talk about student government. Mr. Minnick, good to see you again. Thanks
good
for coming.
Good to see you, sir. And I just want to thank WCSM for coming and highlighting parts of our school and to highlight the students here at Parkway. We are blessed with such great students here at Parkway. We have some exciting things coming up, homecoming that we're going to discuss. Also, we're going to be discussing some military banners that we honor our soldiers here in Rockford. But two of them, for whatever reasons, have been looked over in the past. One was our town founder, Anthony Shane, who served in the military as a guide, scout, interpreter. We're going to get a banner made for him. Now, there is no known picture of Anthony Shane or Antoine Chain, what his original name was, but we're going to either just do a description of his service, or Mr. Kuhn is so talented in the art department that there's descriptions historically written in text that we're going to generate a photo that would define his characteristics. And then the second banner, Civil War soldier, A.T. Sutton, a resident of Shanesville at the time, served in the military, and he was actually captured near Shreveport, Louisiana, and spent some time in POW camps down in Texas. So we're going to honor those two soldiers that have been looked over in the past. So I have class sophomore president Trevor Minnick to talk about the, you know, military recognition that needs to be brought up that will lead into a different discussion with senior class president Taylor Mullenkamp.
Excellent. So let's do that. We're going to move forward here and talk to some of our students, right, Mr.
Absolutely.
Minnick? Is that the plan?
Absolutely.
So we're going to begin with Trevor. Right, come on up here and share with us what grade you're in and class president, right?
Yeah. I'm the sophomore class president of the student government here at Parkway.
Excellent. Can you share with us a bit about what those duties entail and how you got involved in student government?
Well, how I got involved is my dad kind of told me, like, hey, you're going to do student government. But in the past, before when I was seventh, eighth grade coming up to the high school, I would help out with every student government thing that would be involved or being involved with the student government stuff.
You can say he was voluntold to be part of it long before he was ever eligible to be part of it. So,
you know, and that's actually probably a good life skill, because sometimes you are going to be voluntold.
Yeah. And to serve the student body and to serve the school, these are characteristics, not just with my children, but also with my students, that I think need to be expressed and need to be shared.
No question. Sure. If you would also share with us someday, Trevor, what would you like to do one day? Have you thought about what's going to come after high school?
I thought about going to college to become like a mechanic or a welder or something along the lines of being outdoors, kind of like maybe being a crane operator or something like that. But then I also thought about getting into engineering because I really love math. So
excellent. That's a good skill to have. Pretty good with your hands, I take it, right? Fixing things?
And... Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Awesome. Good for you. Awesome. Let's move on. Get another student we're going to meet. We're going to do this in order. Now, share with us your name, and you are also a class president, right?
Yes. Hello. I'm Taylor Mullenkamp, the senior class president, and I just wanted to talk about a little project we're doing. The other day, I was on the phone with one of my good friends, Gabe. He's actually in Georgia right now for basic training, and after I hung up with him, it got me thinking. We have a little display case of past or of military members that have graduated from Parkway, and it's very outdated. And we had a big group of seniors last year that went into the military, whether that's active or National Guard. So we're starting a new project, and we're asking all community members if they themselves have served or if they have a family member that graduated from Parkway, if they could please send in a picture of that service member. That way we can update this display case.
I know that's something that has long been, you know, important in a lot of the local towns, is to show, you know, who served where and when, both for the purpose of appreciation and also local history.
Yes, of course. Yeah, I think it's important that we show that we really appreciate what these people are doing for our country and that they get the recognition that they deserve.
All right, and I also believe that there's a reimbursement.
No.
Yeah.
I never gave her name.
Okay. Yes, I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
She did.
Mr. Minnick's a character. He's always arguing with me.
You'll miss that someday.
I promise you'll miss that.
For you, after graduation, what's next for Taylor?
I would like to stay local and go to Wright State Lake campus and major in middle childhood education.
Outstanding. Yes. Well, and I'm sure you'll do very well. What made you pick that field?
I always wanted to be a teacher. And then I will admit I went through a little phase where I was like, I don't know. People kind of talked me away from it a little bit. And then I thought about nursing. And I job shadowed a lot, and I was like, this just isn't for me. So I fell back on teaching. So I've kind of just always wanted to do it. And I really like the middle school age group because they're a little more responsible than elementary kids. You can be a little more sarcastic. They're a little more serious. Yeah, they're still crazy at times, but I like that it's the age where they're just kind of going through a lot. They're becoming young adults, and I think it's a good age group to work with.
Outstanding. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. Now, on we move. Let's meet our next student. Tell us about yourself.
Hi, I'm Caleb Gillen. I am the senior class representative here at Parkway.
All right, Caleb, tell us a bit about what the difference is between, say, the president and the representative.
So the president more so represents the whole student government, I believe, and helps out more. The representative also represents the full student body, too, but has about a smaller role, it seems like, sometimes, than the class president.
And what inspired you to, you know, to be a part of this, to get into student government?
Well, I really want to get involved in helping serve my school and my classmates. And I saw Mr. Minnick posted the applications for student government back in eighth grade, and I was like, that'd be a good way to help my students and my peers, so I signed up and ran as representative, I believe.
And for you, can you tell us what's next for you after high school? What's your plans?
I plan to go to college after high school to major in optometry.
Oh, right. What made you pick that field?
Well, I'm blind and deaf on my right side, and I really just want to help people that are like me in those situations. So optometry would be a good way to help people with sight deficiencies.
You know, not only is that a wonderful field, but a great personal story that you share with us. I'm sure your optometrist had a lot to do with helping you to function, right? To get out there and be able to do so many things.
Yeah, my optometrist did help me out a lot. He honestly helped me navigate the ups and downs somewhat with the problems with my eyes. He helped realign my eyes sometimes when they weren't right. I really am grateful to have that optometrist in my life.
Have you found that with this help that people might say, what are some of the things you can't do? And are you pretty much able to do everything that that you want?
Well, there are some setbacks to being blind and deaf, but otherwise I've got very little limitations.
Outstanding. Well, thank you so much. Pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Now, I do understand we have another student whom we are going to meet. So share with us your name and title, please.
Hello, I'm Jacoby Triplett. I am class president of our junior class here at Parkway.
All right. So this is the year you became a junior, right?
Yes, sir.
It's kind of neat when you realize you're kind of what we would call an upperclassman, right? Then, you know, as you get into that junior, senior year, what got you involved in student government?
Ever since middle school, I've always been class president, so I feel like I have a leadership role, and I really want to give back to the school and make this a better place.
What are some of the projects you've been able to be a part of in your career?
I'll take this homecoming, for example. We have a homecoming parade on October 5th on a Sunday. The parade will start at 4:30, and there's a Powder Puff game right after it at 5 o'clock.
Excellent. It just sounds like a lot of fun stuff that wouldn't get done otherwise because there's only so much time, right? For people that either are teachers or others, you know, to put them together, it kind of falls onto student government, right?
Yeah.
Excellent. You have a little bit more time before you graduate than, you know, some of our students that are going to be graduating very soon. But for you, have you thought about your future plans?
Yes, I have. My thoughts are hoping to play baseball in college somewhere, and I'm looking into a business field.
What position do you play in baseball?
Middle infield.
Okay. Are you a righty, right, all the way?
Yep.
That's one thing about, you know, being right-handed, if you're not, that kind of limits some of the positions you get, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What drew you to baseball?
My dad. He's helped me play baseball, learn baseball throughout my childhood, and I just enjoyed it.
Do you have any favorite teams you like to follow?
Favorite teams, New York Yankees.
Okay. They're in a fight this year, right, with Blue Jays trying to finish in first place, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Excellent. Appreciate that. And let's talk with Mr. Minnick one more time. How many years now have you been teaching here?
20 years. I've been teaching 20 years, and I've been blessed to have wonderful students and an opportunity to work. These are some of the brightest kids that sign up for student government. And, you know, question you asked earlier, what's the difference between a representative and a president? I just want to give a shout out to Caleb, because Caleb, I chose him to come down here today. I love working with President Ms. Mullenkamp and President Minnick and President Triplett. But every time I turn around, there's Caleb always asking, what can I do? How can I help? And it's that type of leadership. The representatives are the ones, they're the worker bees. They're the ones that get things done. So I'm honored to call Caleb a great representative, and he's always looking out for the best of the students. And that's what student government is all about, is, you know, helping the kids have a better experience through high school, and how can they put on a dance, how can they, you know, have homecoming, which in a time that we're living in right now, we just all need to come together. And we need to speak to one another. We need to talk to one another. And that's what I want the student government to be, is to be the voice of the students for our school.
And also, you know, for you, I'm sure such satisfaction in hearing them talk about their future plans, especially when you know very well they're going to make it happen, right?
They're going to make it happen. And that's the joy of my job, is to be a teacher and to, you know, educate these children and then just watch them grow. And, you know, when I meet them later on in life and they tell me what they've done or what they've accomplished, I'm proud to be just a small part of their lives.
So. It's interesting, too, how you've had so many students, and it may take you a minute to remember all of them, but you know they're out there, and there's probably something you once said to them that they never forgot. It made the light come on, so to speak, right?
I was talking with a former student, and this is a message I want a lot of people to hear. And as educators, you don't know the impact that you have on kids' lives. But over the summer, I came in contact with one of my former students, and she shared with me that it was because of me. She didn't commit suicide her freshman year. And when that hit me, it's like, you know, I came into education to make an impact on one kid's life, just change one kid's life. And when she told me that, I felt like I've done my job. No. And I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep trying to impact one more kid.
And we're going to encourage, you know, people too, that if they have those feelings, yes, reach out to a teacher, yes, to someone you trust. There is also, I think, is it 9-9 that you can text anytime?
Yes, absolutely. And, reach out, talk to somebody.
Yeah.
And that's my message moving forward. We just need to listen to each other. We need to talk to everybody and just be there for one another. So I'm pleased to be part of the Student Government Association.
You bet.
Here at Parkway.
Mr. Minnick, thanks again for coming. We appreciate it.
Thank you, to WCSM for being here.
And I'm telling you, Taylor, I knew this man could be serious. I knew
he can sometimes.
He can sometimes, yeah.
We just like to banter with each other.
But you know what? On a serious note, clearly a great guy, isn't he?
Yes. Yep.
Pleasure to have you here again, and thank you for bringing students. That was a delightful surprise. We appreciate that. Now, coming up next, we've decided there's just not enough drama on this station, so we're going to talk to Mr. Matthew Bruce next, who is all about drama, and not just any drama, high school drama. That's next. I want to thank our sponsors, including Swiss Village, the Chad and Sharon Center, Second Crossing Brewery, the Rockford Chamber, and the Fix, as we continue back to school on 96.7 The Wave. So we'll say, Mr. Bruce, welcome aboard. Thanks for coming.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Can you share with us your background, please? Where you grew up, and what got you into this field of endeavor, if you will?
So I'm from Anna originally. I got a job back here in 2019 teaching second grade. And around that time, they were also looking to reinvigorate the high school drama program. I did drama throughout my high school career. And then in college, I had my physics professor walk in one day and say, I need boys for a musical. And she wrote me into doing community theater for a couple years, really got my life back into it. I kind of found it all again and really loved it. So when I came here, I wanted to get involved again, and I've been pretty blessed to have a great group of kids every year, and it's been awesome.
Let's hear about what's going on most recently with drama. I know you probably have some planned, right?
Yeah, we're working on our show right now. We're working on our fall cabaret, which will be November 7th, 8th, and 9th. The cabarets are a fantastic show for these kids. It's a variety show of half music from musicals, whether it's solos, duets, group numbers, and then half of a one-act sketch that they all get to do together. So they get the experience of the singing and dancing, and we get to see them acting in lots of different capacities, getting them ready for the full spring musical.
Excellent. And cabarets are fun because, especially from the standpoint of the audience, you have some idea of what it is. Mm-hmm. You don't truly know what you're getting, right?
Yeah, and that's what I love about it every year is I get to expose these kids to different types of musicals and different things and show them how everything can be related to musicals. And like this year, for instance, we're doing a number from Across the Universe, which is a Beatles tribute kind of musical. So showing them like it's not just pop culture songs, like these are all integrated into different things. So getting to expose them to all new, old, young, it's just fantastic.
That's for sure. And amazing how that music just lives on.
It does. And it's awesome because I didn't have to print any sheet music. I was like, we're going to sing this song. And they're like, all right, we already know it. So it was great.
Yeah. And what's also neat is I think Cirque du Soleil did a good job of showing us you can mash up their songs and let them run together. And it does work.
Very much, very much so. There's a lot of great jukebox musicals out there that do that. Moulin Rouge is the one we did last year where it takes numbers and it makes all these songs that you would have think, no possibility of connecting, and it puts them all together in a beautiful way. So getting to see the kids be like, oh, I know that one, like, that's always fun.
It is, certainly. I know they did one with Elvis also. I think it was
All Shook Up.
Thank you.
And we are doing a song from All Shook Up in this year's Cabaret.
Good for you. And you talked about Spring Musical. Now, is that a secret what you're doing?
It is a secret right now. If I said it right now, the kids would yell at me. We do a big reveal every year. They are every single day they ask. They're very antsy. We do a big reveal every year. We're planning a very big surprise for the kids this year on how we're going to reveal it. Sometimes we do brackets or other things like that, but we have a big thing.
Well, I wouldn't try to get that any more than I would try to get the Coca-Cola formula.
No, that's
you
fine.
Know, I've got to be under lock and key. What are some shows you've done in the past though?
At Parkway, we have done this is year six for me for this, and the fifth musical we're doing. We started with Bye Bye Birdie, and then it was Once Upon a Mattress, Oklahoma, and then last year we did Guys and Dolls.
Excellent.
We've been, hitting a lot of those classics.
Now, when you want to do one of these, first of all, let's remind people, where are your shows held?
In our auditorium right here at Parkway High School, our beautiful auditorium.
And to get to do one of these shows, is it a kit that you order?
Yeah, so... And I explain this to people all the time. Like, they think, oh, you just put on a musical. Like, they ain't cheap. They are not. I mean, it costs a lot. You have to pay for the rights to do the musical in the first place. You have to apply to do the rights. I'm actually in this process right now. You have to apply to do the rights for the musical, apply for that weekend, make sure everything lines up, make sure that all your information from the auditorium. I just had to send, like, capacity pictures to the company because they're like, we can't do it if we don't know your capacities and things like that. So I have to make sure you have all that in line. Then you have to order the music and the score, and you have to get the licensing rights. And then after all that's done, you get to go to costumes and set design and all that stuff. So it takes a village to do it. So
yeah, and I know some people would say, oh gosh, really? These are just high school kids. But I want to put in a word and be fair. The rights holders are under no obligation to let anyone do their shows.
Absolutely.
Right. You know?
Absolutely. It's an honor and a privilege to do these.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and especially like some of those bigger name shows, you're like, oh, why does this cost more? It's like, because it's amazing. Because we get to do it.
Because it's Oklahoma.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing too, authenticity. People know this. They know they're going to see the show as it was written. Saves you the trouble, I'm sure, of all the things you're involved in and that you have to do. You're glad you don't have to write a script or anything.
Yeah,
right?
That is the one thing. For the cabarets, I do write a script.
Oh, wow.
I have to, because this year we have 20 kids in the cabaret, and already looking at more for the musical because a couple kids, their schedule and things, they talked to me about it, but... I write the one act script because it's hard to find. I want to include every kid as much as I can, and I want to make sure that every kid gets something to do, some little part. And when there's 20 kids, it's hard to find a half hour sketch that does that. When I was at Anna, we would do one acts, and it was these half hour comedies, but it was only like 7, 8, 9 people to fit 20 people and to give them equal size roles and equal size things and to make it all make sense. Like, it's hard. I'm currently in the middle of finishing writing the one for this year, but I've done the past 6. So it's been fun. It's exhausting at times, but I enjoy it.
But also, you can talk about the importance of the set. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you only can go so far with it, but you got to have something there. Surprisingly, it's probably more part of the show than people realize as far as its importance, because if you have a scene taking place in a certain area, mm-hmm. but there's a blank stage or something, it's just not going to work. You got to have something back there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we've been very blessed here. We recently, last year, we got digital backgrounds. So we have these nice, and it's just gorgeous. I can put these pictures up and I can make these beautiful images and we can change scenes constantly. And, especially with projectors, they can be moving. They can be alive back there. So it really makes you feel like, okay, it's not just, kids on a stage reading. They're working in this scene. They're moving in this actual location. So that's been very helpful, because then it's only, okay, now it's one or two big set pieces that everyone navigates around, and then you have this beautiful background to work with.
They've come a long way since vaudeville.
Absolutely.
Maybe also talk about costumes. I'm sure there are a lot of people that still prefer to be old school and design their own costumes, and then others might want to hit the internet and see what they can find,
Right. So we you know, whenever we do our cabarets are amazing because they're pure fundraising. They're very cheap to put on. So we get to take all that money. So for those shows, we always, all right, we have some amazing costumes here that we get the kids to pick from. And some of the kids absolutely love just poking around in our room full of old jackets and old costumes and things. And then we get to the spring, you know, and sometimes it's, you know, especially you do a number like we did Guys and Dolls last year, very hard to find enough costumes for everyone to fit that time period. So we do outsource to an amazing company in Fort Wayne. Am I allowed to shout out?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Stoner's Fun Store in Fort Wayne. They do a fantastic job with costumes every year. Yes, they are incredible, very sweet people. Every time I walk in there, they're so excited about whatever show we're doing. So I love getting to work with them every year.
Excellent. You know, I would also think a lot of fun for you to see you know, your students, your performers grow into their yes. roles, right? To somebody that they didn't want to make eye contact with when you first meet them to, wow, what a talent you got.
I have a lot of kids I could call out on that. Some of them, you know, they start as freshmen and they don't want to look at you. They don't want to. And by a senior, they're the talkiest one and they want to be everywhere. I've told some of the kids this. I've changed the musical that we're doing based on some kids' auditions for the cabaret, because they'll come in and I'll see their growth over the summer. And I'm just like, wow, they can hold it now. Like, you know, before as a freshman, like, I don't know where to hide some of these kids on stage, but they're wonderful. I love them so much. And I joke with them about this, but they get to a point. I'm just like, wow, what happened? Like, you guys are, you're killing this. You're doing amazing. And to watch them grow and to help in that growth, especially, I mean, the confidence that they get from that is amazing. And I've had some kids where I'm like, and I tell my kids every year, chorus is not a life sentence. If you work hard and you do this, you know, you can grow and you can become great. And I have kids that I can name that are the complete epitome of that. So
true. And another thing also, I'm sure even for you, you probably have your favorite performers and actors that you like. Yeah. And probably what is most fun is when you, especially when we were kids and we would see a show and then see an interview with that actor and realize that he or she is nothing like who they play on TV, you know, like they're the
complete
most
opposite,
dreadful, terrible people on the show. Yeah. And then you look and you realize, like, oh, hey, he seems pretty nice. Yeah. Yeah. And then I think that brings it home. What incredible talent it takes, but they make it look so natural, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The person who immediately came to my mind, and this is, just, I don't know why, but was Kathy Bates. I mean, in everything, in a lot of things she did, she was a villain, whether it was like Miss Hannigan or some of her other roles. You're just like, wow, like she plays an awful person, but she, like, you see her in interviews and it's like, she's just the sweetest person. Like, so that's amazing. And I love to see even like people who are just like, you know, they play these amazing characters and then like you watch them in interviews, like, oh, they just are that person. Like, it's just so natural and so easy for them. The one that always comes to mind is Robert Morse, who was, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. If you watch him in that role, he's just this dynamic all over the type guy. And then you'd watch him in interviews and he is the exact same as what he was. This couldn't have been very hard for you.
Yeah. Some people, you're right. That's, I think another thing too, you don't always know how they hide an accent. I'm sure it's an old movie, but I'm sure you saw, Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And I see this interview years later with Bob Hoskins and I found out he was British.
He's British.
Yeah,
I know.
I had no idea.
I know. There's an actor recently, Domhnall Gleeson, who is in the new TV show, The Paper, and he was in Star Wars, and he was in a lot of things. And he does in English and American. He was in Harry Potter as well. He was in English and American. And then I found out he was Scottish, and I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yes.
I was like, I can't even listen to this guy. It's weird to do that. Yeah, we got to work with accents a lot last year with Guys and Dolls, the New York talk and the high-pitched with Adelaide especially, and that's always fun with some of these kids, but they did a great job.
You got to get your accent right, otherwise,
you do.
I love Dick Van Dyke, but when you see him in Mary Poppins his accent is cringeworthy.
It's a little south of correct, but
yes, something like that. So, yeah, no question. So again, just sounds like a lot of fun and something that I think people would be surprised. You can make more of a career out of it than you think. If you never can get off the stage, for one thing, there's community theater.
Absolutely, yeah.
You can be a teacher if you want. You can work behind the scenes. I mean, there's a lot of ways to get involved, right?
We have a lot of great community theater in the area, actually. Crescent Players, and they're now. I actually started with them in New Bremen when they were doing New Bremen Minster shows back in 2017, 2018, 2019. And now they're located in St. Mary's, the new theater. You know, everyone's it's being breathing some new life into it. It's beautiful. But they're working out of there. Two of our kids recently did a show this summer there. We had some kids do some at the Van Wert Civic Theater. So community theater is amazing, especially for these kids. They get to experience these different types of directing, these different types of shows, and then come back and just and bring all that energy back to the shows we're doing. So I really love when these kids go out and do other things because I just think it's amazing. It shows their passion for it.
That's what it's about, right? The passion, mm-hmm. you know, for it. You know, Mr. Bruce, good to catch up with you again. And I'm sure you encourage people, especially younger ones, if they're in, you know, elementary or middle school, get on the stage, start developing your talent.
That's
right?
A big thing too. You know, we have an amazing middle school program here too. We run by Shannon Wagner, and I tell my high school kids every year, I said, you need to go watch every single one of those shows because those kids look at you and they're like, "What?" So you need to be a good example for them and go support them. And we get a good flood of those kids coming into the high school every year. So I absolutely love what they're doing and how we can support them and how they can support us.
Excellent. And again, when the big reveal happens, will that be put on social media?
Yes, it will
chance?
Be. You can follow us at Parkway High School Drama on Facebook. That will be put on there. It's very tight-lipped right now because I know the kid, they're trying to pry. They're guessing little things. Well, what about this? What about this? Oh, he likes this one. He's going to do this. And as I tell them every year, you don't know me. You don't know. they try to guess every year. So you're not close. So
You might have to involve Santa. You know, and say, look, just like you're not allowed to try to guess your Christmas presents.
Oh, yeah,
presents.
Absolutely. I tell them every time you guess one, I'm going to take it away from you.
That's
and
right.
So they start guessing some really old ones so they know I won't do them.
Okay.
So they figured out the system a little bit, but we're keeping it locked down for now. But we'll September 26th or 25th, one of those two, whichever one the Thursday is. That is our announcement day, so we'll let everyone know after that.
Outstanding. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Good to see you. I want to take a moment and welcome back to Back to School here from Parkway. I want to take a moment here and thank our sponsors who include Greer's Power Digging, the Fremont Company, Hegg Towing. I want to thank Rockford Chamber, Swiss Village, and Chad Insurance Center, along with Second Crossing Brewery and the Fremont Company. I have Amy Drake with us here, band teacher. Amy, nice to see you. Thanks for coming.
Nice to see you too.
Can you share with us, please, a bit about your background and how long you've been here and everything?
Yeah, so I actually graduated from here in 2012. I have been teaching throughout the greater Cincinnati, greater Dayton area for 8 years, moved back home, worked in Salina for another 2 years, and this is my first year back at Parkway.
Excellent. What made you get into band? Were you a musical person growing up?
Oh, yes. Honestly, I can remember vividly going to a football game and watching Parkway's marching band when I was in kindergarten. I thought they were the coolest group I had ever seen in my life, and I wanted to be them when I got older. And so I've always had a love for music, and then just having the educators that I have, I fell in love with music education, and that's how I got to be where I am today.
And for you, how many different instruments do you play personally?
I would say that I'm proficient. I shouldn't say, well, let's go with proficient on 4 different instruments, but we're trained to play all of them.
Excellent. And for you, obviously, you know, being a teacher, it probably helps to have that knowledge because you're helping them learn, right?
Yes.
And another thing also that I'm sure, and you can kind of take it from here as a band director, you're kind of the one who knows like what stage or what level people should be with, right? Like if they're new to the instrument, explaining to them that, some of these amazing players you want to imitate, you're not at that level yet, right?
Yes. Yes. It's a lot of fun watching the beginning instrumentalists put their instrument together and then they want to play on the same level as some of the people that they, you know, grow up watching, and I have to remind them, you know, they started where you are now, and that's okay.
Yeah, that one person that does an amazing interpretation of Moonlight Sonata on piano, that probably took them a while to learn. Yes. That, right?
Yes, absolutely.
But for you and through your career, I'm sure you've enjoyed watching them develop, right?
Oh, yeah.
And go on to do some things.
Oh, absolutely. One student comes to mind from my job in Cincinnati. I gave him a piece of music, and he said, "This doesn't look too bad." Wait, it's getting scarier. This student would almost shut down when he was giving some, when he was given something that was, in his opinion, too hard. And he grew to not only love band, but continue with band in high school. And his group actually got to go play in Carnegie Hall. And so just watching this individual go from, I don't want to put any effort into it, to kicking butt and playing in Carnegie Hall was just a really cool experience.
No question. And I think also it shows that no matter where you're from, I mean, you can go on and do amazing things too, right?
Absolutely.
And for you, you know, getting to come back, share with us what it was like to have your first day here. That had to be quite a day for you.
It was. The first day that I was in the office or in my office and I was making copies of music, I was down at the copier and I thought, okay, I'm making these copies for the band director. And on my way back to my room, I thought, wait a second, this isn't their room anymore. This is my room. I'm making copies for my ensemble. And it was just kind of shell shock, honestly, being back in the room that was my comfort zone all throughout junior high and high school. And now I get to be that for my students.
Who was your band teacher here growing up?
I had Mr. Richard Sherrick, 5th, 6th, and 7th grade, and then I had Mr. Ryan Twigg from 8th grade throughout my senior year.
Those are two very legendary names. So we just had Mr. Sherrick on the show, you know, a couple weeks ago, and he's still at it, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's just it. Once the music bug bites you, you never have to put your instrument down, do you?
Not at all.
You know, that's it may be that you, for somebody listening, maybe they'll become a doctor or a lawyer or something. Well, here's the thing. I just saw AC Swing last weekend, mm-hmm. and I was looking over the band, and I was waving at some people. And I don't know if I picked out any doctor, but I picked out one attorney.
Yeah.
And you realize that these are, you know, people might have jobs during the week, but they never gave up on the music, you know?
Correct. I tell some of my students who think that there are cooler things that they could do than band, that Jason Kelsey still plays his tenor saxophone, will talk very highly about his music background and how much he enjoys still getting to play his saxophone. So,
yeah, and for some people, that maybe that becomes their rod and reel.
Yes.
or their paints or their golf clubs, and they might find that, you know, that they may not do as well on the golf course, but they can play that instrument.
Absolutely.
Right? And also, I think these days, I'm sure you can speak on this, that even after school's come to an end, there's so many talented musicians on YouTube. If you find the right one, a lot of them do, you know, online lessons that you can kind of watch, you know?
Yes. Yes. And I have, especially my younger players, I kind of point them in the direction of some of these people who, you know, studied one specific instrument. I might say, hey, go and watch the first few videos. They'll help you get set up. They might give you tips that I can't give you as somebody who didn't study specifically on that instrument. But
yeah, that's kind of neat. And also, you know, I'm sure there are some instruments that people want to learn how to play. You kind of increase whether or not you'll get featured a lot in the band or even find work, because I'm sure some players are harder to find than others, right?
Yes, absolutely. I honestly, the most difficult instruments to find are French horn, oboe, and bassoon. I would also put up there maybe like a baritone saxophone. Those are the ones that that you have a really hard time finding.
What are some of your favorite songs to, you know, conduct a band to play, you know, yourself when you got your students up and going and doing shows?
I'll tell you one that you know, you might get tired of hearing, but I love hearing it, especially from the beginning band, is Hot Cross Buns. That's the first piece that they actually play that sounds like a piece of music, and they get so excited. Man, I'm trying to think of other concert band pieces. It's been a while since I've conducted at like the high school level. Right now we're in marching band season. I would say that one of my favorite pieces that I've conducted with them was Creep by the group Radiohead. And that was just a lot of fun to conduct.
I know it's been years now, but I'll never forget the first time I was at a football game and I heard a band playing, and I went, is that Iron Man?
Yes.
And it shocked me. I'm like, first of all, they're playing Iron Man. And yes. Secondly, that sounds amazing when a band plays it, right?
That's funny that you should mention that piece because our second show in marching band is a tribute to Ozzy. So we play some of his singles and music from Black Sabbath. And so our second piece, which is our Twirler feature, is Iron Man.
That's for sure, you know, and and would also, you know, it took me years to figure out that Hot Cross Buns and Three Blind Mice were kind of the same.
Yes.
And I didn't know that for the longest time.
But, yes.
But and I also love to remind everybody and mention that that's the Three Stooges song.
Yes. Too.
So that I think for that reason alone, that song will always be cool no matter what.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Pretty neat.
Yeah.
And we want to thank you again for coming. And I'm sure you want to encourage, you know, kids, parents, et cetera. If you think you're interested in an instrument, you know, it just takes a couple things, a little leap of faith, some dedication, right? And patience.
Absolutely.
Why not, right?
Mm-hmm.
So thanks again. Good to see you.
Thank you. You too.
So I want to take a moment here. Thank Lee Kieser, our producer. Thank Ashley Stetler, who helped us set up today. Thank Laura Young and our admin team that worked very hard to put that great list of guests together. And again, thank you to Swiss Village, Chad Insurance Center, Second Crossing Brewery, Rockford Chamber and The Fix. I want to thank Greer's Power Digging and the Fremont Company. Thank you, Hague Towing and River Trail Campgrounds, as well as the Rockford Eagles Lodge. And again, I'm thanking them again. Lee Kieser, great job daily. Thank you so much. We'll be back tomorrow. Guests including Lauren Gudorf talking about the Fun Runners. We'll have the head of maintenance and custodians here, Mike Jones, Sam Gudorf, tech director, and Ryan Thompson, who is all about boys golf and girls golf with Hunter Brunn. So we will continue our broadcast from Parkway here on 96.7 The Wave.